Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Margaret Michael.
And we're so glad that you've joined us today. We pray that today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks will be a half hour of hope for your life. Pastor Margaret, tell us where we'll be going today and what we'll be talking about and a little bit about what the Lord's been speaking to you.
Well, it's not probably a popular subject. It's one of the things that we don't want to pray for, but it is so important in the Christian walk, this idea of patience. So today we're going to talk a little bit about patience. When we've had a vision, we feel like we know what we are called to do, but all the pieces aren't in place yet. And we'll begin today looking at some words from Oswald Chambers from My Utmost for His Highest.
Well, thank you, Pastor Margaret, and certainly not an easy topic, like you said. Certainly that's something easier said than done, and even harder probably to pray. It's almost like praying for patience, because if we pray for patience, then God will give us opportunities
Absolutely.
To be patient.
Yes, you are so right. It's in that patience, though, sometimes I think that he can teach us and show us some really tangible ways that he is in the midst if we'll just wait. And so we can share a little bit about that as we go along. I can jump in and just share what Oswald Chambers has to say about this. It's actually from May 2nd. And the scripture that it comes from is Habakkuk 2:3. Though it tarries, wait for it. And then there's three little dots after it. So, you know, and it is in the waiting. We don't even know what we'll have to experience or what the Lord wants to do to even prepare us. But I think even in those three dots, that signifies so many things that can bring maturity in our lives because we learn so much when we wait. And I'll start now with what Oswald Chambers has to say about patience to wait for the vision. Patience is not the same as indifference. Patience conveys the idea of someone who is tremendously strong and able to withstand all assaults. Having the vision of God is the source of patience because it gives us God's true and proper inspiration. Moses endured, not because of his devotion to his principles of what was right, nor because of his sense of duty to God, but because he had a vision from God. He endured as seeing him who is invisible, from Hebrews 11:27. A person who has the vision of God is not devoted to a cause or to any particular issue. He is devoted to God himself. You always know when the vision is of God because of the inspiration that comes with it. Things come to you with greatness and add vitality to your life because everything is energized by God. He may give you a time spiritually with no word from himself at all, just as his son experienced during his time of temptation in the wilderness. When God does that, simply endure, and the power to endure will be there because you see God. Though it tarries, wait for it. The proof that we have the vision is that we are reaching out for more than we have already grasped. It is a bad thing to be satisfied spiritually. The psalmist said, "What shall I render to the Lord? I will take up the cup of salvation," from Psalm 116. We are apt to look for satisfaction within ourselves and say, "Now I've got it. Now I am completely sanctified. Now I can endure." Instantly, we are on the road to ruin. Our reach must exceed our grasp. Paul said, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, ... from Philippians 3:12. If we have only what we have experienced, we have nothing. But if we have the inspiration of the vision of God, we have more than we can experience. Beware of the danger of spiritual relaxation."
Well, Pastor Margaret, some of the things that I got out of that reading was that, you know, we're not called necessarily to anything in particular. We're called to God and then whatever he has for us. And that might be different things at different times in our lives. And we just need to be open and willing for whatever He has for us. And, you know, if we have Him, then we have everything. You know, just because we've gone through things in the past doesn't mean that that's what our future holds, you know.
That's right.
Our future, if it's in God's hands and we can trust Him, then our future, as Dad says many times, is preferred. The rest of our days are hopefully the best of our days.
Yeah, and you know, His Word tells us that He has things planned for us that we've never thought of or imagined. And sometimes the only thing that we can see, obviously, is the past. We can see what's happened, but to be future-minded and believe that the best is yet to come. That's a powerful thought. And I don't know about you, but as I look back over my life, I can see how I didn't understand a lot of things that were happening when they were happening, but I can look back now and I can see them line up, that He was actually preparing me all along for the next thing. Is that something that you've been able, can you look back and see that too in your life?
Yes, Pastor Margaret, there's a few different times in my life where I was like, you know, wondering when God was going to do something or how much longer I was going to be in this waiting pattern. Or maybe there were situations in my life I was like, you know, how is God going to use this? Or, you know, and now I see and understand how He used those situations, or maybe those situations didn't work out, and I know why they didn't work out, because He had other things in mind, and He had other doors that He wanted to open in the future for me.
Right. Makes me think of that country music song, I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers, right?
Amen.
He was on to something. And yeah, I can see that too in my life. You know, I think about, as I look back over my life, and, you know, I was a hairstylist for quite a few years, and I just thought, hey, I will do hair until I retire. Maybe I'll take over the family business and it'll be my, you know, my hair salon one day. And I'm just about going about my business, cutting a lady's hair one evening, and she actually, I saw her walk in to the salon, and she turned around and she walked back out to her car. And when she came in to get her hair cut, she had a piece of paper and she just handed it to me. And I said, what is this? And she said, well, I think it's meant for you. And I looked at it, and it was actually a job position at, which was at that time at the old hospital, RMH. And I just looked at her and she said, I think this is for you. And I was kind of flabbergasted. Me, work at the hospital? I was a hairdresser. And they were actually opening what is now called the Image Recovery Center. And it was going to be a department of the hospital where they worked with anyone whose appearance was altered due to a disease or treatment. And it would be a salon, a spa, just a full-service place for women and men to come in and deal with, whether it was cancer or whatever they may be dealing with. And I took that home that evening, and I was telling Steve about it. And I'm like, there's just no way. And as I began to really think about it and pray about it, and Steve, my husband, was like, you know, you can interview for interview's sake. You can go all the way up until they offer you the job and say no. And I couldn't even take the application in for the longest time. And a friend of mine said, you know, you're going to miss getting that job if you don't hand that application in. And I said, well, the way I look at it, if that job is for me, when I feel like the timing is right, I just couldn't rush in there. I need to have to wait and to see what the Lord was doing. And He did give me the go ahead. And so that was a piece of the whole plan. I look back, and not only did I work with people every day who were coming in to the hair salon, spending a half hour, depending on what service they had done for their hair, whether it was a haircut or something that took longer. And I just built relationships, and I came to the Lord there. And then when I went to the hospital, I was able to take the experience that I had there, and God grew me there. And then the Lord called me to full-time ministry as I worked at the hospital. I look back at all of that, and as I think about the patience to wait for the vision, and now the Lord has called me, He's given me this call to ministry, and what do I do with that? Most of you that listen on a regular basis probably know that growing up, you know, in the Old Order Church and leaving and experiencing broken relationships with my family, my choice of leaving wasn't anything they did to me. It was my choice. And I was beginning to build that relationship back. And I thought, how can I do something that I know, although in my mind, I really felt that as I studied the Word, I could understand that God used women. They shared the good news, and that is all I wanted to do, was share the good news with people. And I believed that the Lord was in that. But I, again, was in that waiting, having patience, making sure that I wasn't getting ahead of the Lord. And I remember one day I had to say to my husband, you know, hey, I have this call in my life, and how do you feel about that? And it took him 3 days to come back and say, you know what? If this is what you feel like you're being called to, then I'm going to support you 100%. And that was very important. That was very important for me to have that. I wouldn't have went forward without that. But there was another person that I was really concerned about, and it was my mom. And I can remember one day I was driving, and she and I were on the phone in a conversation, and I just remember the Lord was giving me scripture as we talked about the Lord, and it was just such a beautiful conversation. And I remember her stopping me, and she said, Margaret, are you preaching over at that church? And that was my affirmation, that if my mom could see something in my life that she didn't even agree with, but she still saw it, then I had to know that that was affirmation. And how grateful I was. I was so grateful that I had had patience to wait for the affirmation to come through the person that I needed to hear it from the most.
Those are great stories, Pastor Margaret, and definitely great examples of how God used you being a hairdresser and then working at the hospital with Image Recovery to help prepare you for ministry and witnessing to those, whether it be an evangelistic type way or in a shepherding, ministering
right.
type way. And I know the Lord has done some similar things in my own life where when I went to school, I was all worried about getting called into the ministry. Well, spring of my freshman year through our fundraiser, I studying broadcasting, and through our yearly fundraiser, the Lord spoke to me, and they had a local radio station on campus there that was in the community, and spoke to me probably one of the clearest times I've ever heard him. I've heard him clear a few times, but definitely just spoke to me, this is ministry. And so I was thinking, well, God will use me, you know, outside the church, will use me to witness to those who maybe wouldn't otherwise go to church. And so when I graduated and got a part-time job at a local radio station, I figured over time, you know, something will open up if I'm just patient, and this will become full-time. Well, that never materialized, and I actually had a couple other part-time jobs while I was working this part-time job at a few other smaller stations, and none of those ever really materialized as far as full-time. Well, I knew that at that time, I didn't know that God was preparing me for ministry in the church.
Right.
And having a weekly broadcast on WBTX here, Front Porch Talks, and also doing other podcasts through the church website. And so I agree with you that certainly God doesn't always work on our timing. It's His timing, and we just need to be patient and wait and do day by day what He's telling us to do, even if we don't understand. He's using those things. So He used that part-time work at different radio stations to help prepare me for what I'm doing now, working at the church and working with audio and broadcasting. And another quick story, I don't know how many years ago, it was probably 8 or 9 years ago, I had an opportunity to record a program that a lady locally was doing on the radio and help her do some editing and those type of things. And I don't know, it was probably a year or so after I graduated. And so I recorded a couple of her programs, and the system she had, the software was older and I wasn't familiar with it. And just, I laugh now to think that I couldn't really figure out how to edit. So that didn't pan out. And I didn't know why. I'm thinking, well, you know, I graduated with this broadcasting degree, like, and nothing's really seeming to pan out in a full-time type of aspect. But, you know, God had better things planned. And the Bible says that he has better plans for us than we can think or imagine. And you mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
And so we just need to be patient and wait and trust him for his timing.
And it is. It's all about timing. And I say often, you know, God, he can open a door and in a moment that we have pushed on for years. And sometimes I think, I believe, not just think, but I know that he wants our surrender. He wants us fully to trust him. And being able to, when we have been given vision, calling, and that's different for every one of us. It's not always a call to full-time ministry. But we all, as children of God, have been called to serve him in different capacities. And figuring that out, sometimes we can want to rush that. But I love in Oswald Chambers where the scripture in Habakkuk is, though it tarries, wait for it. And I love that they put dot, dot, dot there, because that's what we need. We need to just take that exhale and let him make the way. Because if we try to push our way to where we believe we're supposed to be, when we get there, I think we'll question, is this of God or is it of me? Because if we have to make it happen, then I'm not sure that when we get in the midst of it, that we'll really have our foundation down that this is of the Lord. And so, yeah, I think that we have to have the patience to wait. And we can look at Scripture. How many times did Old Testament, New Testament, was there the waiting? I mean, Abraham and Sarah are a prime example. You would have thought that their chances to have a child had been long gone. I mean, let's be real. Sarah laughed at God because really, you can do this, Lord? Come on. But he can. And he just wants our whole heart to really trust that he is in the details of the waiting.
That's a great story, Pastor Margaret. And some other stories that I was thinking about, Jesus, I mean, he only had 3 years of ministry, but he's the one that we desire to emulate, desire to be like. And just all the many miracles and the people that he healed and the miraculous signs and stuff that he did, you know, the feeding of the 5,000 and just so many things that he accomplished in 3 years. And also Noah. I mean, how old was Noah when he started building the ark?
Right.
And how long did it take him to build the ark before the rains actually came? But he was preparing Noah in the many years of his life. He used Noah to save his family and also, you know, to save creation. You know, he was the only faithful man on the earth. So the whole earth, if he hadn't have been faithful, would have been wiped out. So
that is so true. And, you know, when we wait on the Lord, like Noah did, people can look at us and it doesn't make any sense by the world's standards. But there is something about when we wait, when the Lord has that call in our life, and, you know, we can go back to Isaiah, when Isaiah was called, and he heard the Lord say, you know, who will go for us? Well, that's the call that every one of us have. That is a call, you know, who will go for the Lord? Who will be a voice in this world? And as we really wait for the Lord, even, you know, in my situation where I felt that I had heard the Lord, that he had called me, but I needed that affirmation from him. I needed to know that I know that I know that I hadn't just had, you know, pizza the night before and had indigestion, as Jerry Falwell has often said, but that I know that I heard from the Lord. And I can't stress that enough, of making sure that we give the Lord time to bring affirmation into that before we move forward. And then as we look back, we have these markers. And in the Old Testament, when they experienced God, they would put up a memorial. They would put a, might be a heap of stones, or they would build an altar to the Lord to remember those important times of hearing from God and knowing that this was the way that they were to go. And we need to have those today too, that we can say, you know what? I know that I know because he has affirmed this in my life. And just having the patience to wait and know that we know that we know will keep us maybe from having quite as many sleepless nights.
And Pastor Margaret, you were talking about knowing whether it's the Lord speaking to us or just something that we've had to eat. I think something key in that is setting aside regular time to spend, whether it be in devotion or quiet time or prayer with him, just learning to hear his voice. And that's easier said than done in our society where, you know, we always got to be doing something. We got to be busy, busy, busy. But we just need to set aside some quiet time. And it might not be the same amount every day, but just make it a habit of doing it. And I think as we get in the habit of doing it, because I think a lot of time the enemy can use busyness as a distraction for us, and also doubt. Like sometimes we hear something and we're like, was this really God or is this me speaking? But the more we spend in quiet time with him, the better we're able to understand when he's speaking to us.
Right. And there are a few things that need to line up. And that is, if he's spoke to us, does it line up with the Word of God? That's a good way to know. Through prayer. And we have to have accountability around us, people that are praying for us, with us, and having folks that we can talk through these things together. We find that he brings affirmation through others as well.
Yeah, certainly accountability and having people pray for us and with us and speak truth into our lives is very important. And we need to be not just taking, but we also need to be giving to others, giving wisdom, giving prayer, giving encouragement, giving support to others. So it needs to be a two-way street.
Absolutely. And, you know, no matter where we're at on this journey, whether we've been a Christian for a year, 5 years, 20 years, maybe, you know, we are at a point where we go, well, you know what, nothing is going to change. You know, there's nothing new going to happen. I remember when I was working at Image Recovery, and if you remember Pastor Camelot, before she was a pastor too, I actually hired her to help me open Image Recovery, and that is where our friendship began. We spent many hours together there. And one day she stopped. She looked at me. We were in a conversation. And she said, this isn't the end for you. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, you're not going to work here forever. I said, yes, I am. I'm going to retire from the hospital. And she just looked at me and laughed and was like, no, you're not. And I thought, the nerve of her. But she spoke something into my life that I took heed to those words. It caused me to pray more. You know, well, if I'm not here, where's it going to be? Christian fellowship like that is so important. And that we listen to those things and we take it to the Lord. And she was right. That wasn't the end for me. But I would have declared in that moment that that would be the best it could be. And God continues to surprise us. God continues to have vision for us if we'll look and see, and like you said, be in the Word and listen. And at the end of the devotional that I shared earlier, Paul said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. we still have things before us that God still has a plan, no matter where we're at in our life. God has a plan. We're not going to reach a certain place and go, well, you know, there's no more he can do with me. You know, we are a work in progress. He continues to call us to surrender on a deeper level. And as we give him more and more of ourselves, he continues to use us. And really, until we reach that time when we take our last breath, he has plans for us to use us.
And the Bible says that those plans are plans for a hope and a future. And you were talking about Pastor Camelot speaking into your life and that the Lord was using her. And I think back to when me and Dad were thinking about starting Front Porch Talks for the church website. Reverend James Sproul, who I know Dad's mentioned many times, he's one of Dad's mentors, said he shared with Dad about a dream that he had had, and I don't know how long before it was, but he dreamed that he was sitting on a front porch and that me and Dad were out in the fields bringing in the harvest.
Wow.
And so that was confirmation to us that the Lord was speaking into what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. And, you know, having people around us that can speak positive and speak that vision and remembering that we have, as believers, we have that same responsibility to do for other people, to continue to speak hope into people's lives in the hard times, whenever, being able to remember that we are to be conduits, vessels, a pipeline, whatever you want to call it, to bring good news. We have been bought with a price, and the Lord wants to use us every day for the rest of our life. Well, Grayson, as we kind of wind down today in this talking about waiting, having the patience to wait, I'm drawn to something that's actually before me right now. And it's just a few pointers that I think can help us in the waiting. Because what do we do while we wait? You know, the scripture, be still and know that I am God. That sounds like we don't do anything. But in the waiting, there are a few things that we must do. And I just want to share those bullets with you. The first one is we must be faithful, serve gladly, love passionately, believe totally, pray always, live holy, and think with the mind of Christ. And these are from Pastor Carey, things that he has posted that help him in this walk of faith that he is journeying. And he is a great witness to me, and I know he is to you, and a great mentor. And when we see those before us living this way, it increases our faith. And I don't know, I feel pretty sure, Grayson, that you probably feel like I do. You want people to look at your life and see these things. And that would be my desire, that we can be role models for being faithful, serving gladly, loving passionately, believing totally, praying always, living holy, and thinking Christ-like.
Amen, Pastor Margaret. I agree with everything that you just said, and thanks for joining me today, and thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. We pray that it's been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.